Good evening. As Greg announced, Emerson is with Shannon at the hospital. And Scott and I said we would be prepared just in case. Tonight, I invite you to pull out your Bibles. We'll look at quite a few verses. Like I said, we'd be prepared just in case, and I told Emerson I'd go through the file and pull out something, dust it off a little bit, and look at it. When I started doing that, I came across this lesson fairly soon. I went through a bunch of them, and this one, I kept coming back to this one. And I don't know exactly when it was. It was in writing, not even on a computer, so it had to have some age on it. But I think, you know, the words to it are still the same. It still came from the same scriptures. That doesn't change. And then the points as I looked through it, it's really something that I kept coming back to because it was something that I thought, well, this is something I need to remind myself of. And hopefully that'll be the case this evening, that all of us can kind of look at faith and remind ourselves of faith and what we need to have. It needs to be our foundation and our pattern, and it still remains the same today. When I look back at this, and what I wanted to accomplish back then is the same as what I want to accomplish this evening, is looking at it, at our faith, and hopefully making ourselves stronger and closer to God and asking ourselves the same questions. What is faith? We know from Hebrews 11:1 that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But how firm is our faith? How strong is our faith? We believe in God. That's probably obvious, or we wouldn't be here this evening. But as Greg read in the reading this evening, it said in verse 19 that even the demons believe and tremble. So faith must be more than just belief in God. It requires more than that. When we look at verse 18 of James chapter 2, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We'll come back to James 2 several times this evening, but I think these are the key verses that had me thinking about my faith and my works and what others see. You know, what I can fool myself into believing in the things that I feel where I'm at. I can fool myself pretty easy. But what would others say about my faith? What do others see? Those that are around me, those at the workplace, those of you here. Most importantly, what would God say about my faith? What does He see by my actions? We can fool ourselves, but we can't always fool others. And what would others say? And that's what I want us to look at this evening. What do our actions say? What would God say about our faith? Going back to James chapter 2. Looking at a few verses here again. We'll read it all. Verses 14 through 16. Says that faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? For the faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Do we equate the two together, faith and works? Our actions tell us a lot about others. Ellen and I were watching a show the other day, some reality show. I actually think the whole family was watching it. And there was a couple on there that claimed to be very religious. And the first couple times they talked to them, it was all about religion. And at the end of it, when things got a little tough, they used a lot of foul language. And we kind of looked at each other and said, it doesn't go together. And then those that are watching the show sometimes can look at that and say, somebody says they're religious, but their actions are different. I think we can understand that. I'm not putting them down, but we can understand that the actions don't always go along with what we say. We can see that even Jesus told numerous times, he talked to Pharisees and about how their actions were different than what their words were and what they tried to be. We can understand that. It can be maybe even hypocritical, as in the Pharisees and the things that we're doing. What are our deeds telling others? Not what we want them to, not necessarily what we think, but what are they saying to others? Our actions truly tell others about our beliefs. And I think we can understand that. In life, we do a lot of things that show support. Maybe sometimes it's just by the clothing that we have, or sometimes maybe we want to, so maybe sometimes we don't. But we show a lot of support for the things we do. It was by choice, but yesterday I think I had a shirt that talked of a shoe company and a hat that talked of a car company, and all these would show support for different things. And we can understand that. Sometimes we aim to show support for our favorite teams or our schools or maybe even workplaces or different things that we may aim to show support. We get that concept that the things that we do show support. Why not then would we think that our lives wouldn't be supportive of things that we do? When people see us, what do they see? What do they see us supporting? What do they see us standing behind? It may be behind our favorite sports team, and that's okay, but it also, what other actions do they see? We understand the actions of showing support. We've done that. When I went to school, it was great emphasis on showing support and standing proud for who you represented or what you stood for. And when we rally behind it, great things. We understand that. And our lives kind of continue. That's the way we kind of see things. And people still, whether we think about it or not, they still think of us showing support for something. So what are we showing support for? Again, in verse 19, even the demons believe and tremble. The demons believe that there is a God. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. The demons believe that there is a God. But they didn't react to that in a way that they would be saved. It requires more than belief in our actions and the way that we live. The things that we do show our true belief. What is required? I think as we look through these verses, it says that faith and works is required to show our faith. I think as it shows here, it talks about things that are doing good. I think there's a lot of good people that do good things. There's a lot of people that say that they believe in God, but there's not always associated together. And that doesn't always prove that our faith, but it can and it should. And it's more than, even in this verse, shows an act of doing good. But I think as we go through the lesson this evening that we'll see that it's more than just doing good things. We'll see that by some key examples. All throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at that too in a few verses. It shows a lot of examples of people who had faith. It talks of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. It talks about the walls of Jericho falling, Rahab. Many, many more mentioned throughout this. Of examples of faith. And all it shows that their actions they did, you remember the things that they did, that Abraham showed his faith by the sacrifice, or willing to sacrifice his son, as God asked. And we see all these different things that they did. The walls of Jericho fell because they believed that they would, and they did what God said. It was their actions showing their faith that made them fall. I think some key verses throughout this, though, as we read through Hebrews chapter 11, I think we can see again the examples. But we see that verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We think about that, and that is what we think of as faith, understanding that God framed the world and those things that are around us, even though that we didn't see Him do that, we have faith in that. But we also look at verse 6 and say, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. We believe then if there's a God, it shows here more that it's more than just that. It shows our faith in Him and that we must believe and that He rewards those we diligently seek Him. Several of the verses in chapter 11 that we could see, but I think those two really stand out of kind of showing what faith is and the actions required to show that. I think we can see some other examples, and I thought of immediately of, there's lots of examples, but of one of them I thought of Tabitha in chapter 9 of Acts, of the book of Acts, chapter 9 of book of Acts, and then starting verse 36. Now we see that she was very charitable and of good things, but think of how the people viewed her as we read these verses. Starting verse 36 of chapter 9 of Acts. In Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died, and they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she had saw Peter, she sat up. Then they gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints, the widows, he presented her alive. It's a great story of even the faith of others in sending and having Peter come. Really, we can make note of that they sent and asked Peter to come, the faith that they would have had and what Peter could do. But I think if you think about Tabitha and the things, it says she was full of good works and charitable, the things that she did. And we think there's lots of people during these times that would have passed away, and maybe many times they did go. But why is this one mentioned? And I have to think of the things that she did and the way she was viewed by the others around her. You think about when she passed away, there were some that believed in Peter, but they sent for something. Her acts had to show that her belief. It had to be an example of faith. And I think this is a great example of what we can see. And when you think about what the people saw in her and the things that she did and their reaction to it. I'm going to look at another example in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 through 13. As we read through this, I want you to see what Jesus says about this faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed that same hour. We look at this, and when I think of these words, and it says, I have not found such great faith. Jesus, who is around all these people, who have seen all these things, is amazed by the faith. So what made this guy's faith so strong that Jesus would say this? And I think there's a couple keys to this. I see that, I think in verse 8, we see a few things. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. I think just in this one verse, we see several things that I think that are really key to this tonight. Things that I want to look at, hopefully we can all look at. First, we see the humbleness. I think that's part of it. He definitely humbled himself, realizing who the true power was. But I also see that we see great faith in what he says next, when he says, "When you speak a word and my servant will be healed." Think about that, what he said. How many times have they just seen that? Someone in a great distance, and Jesus could say, "You're healed," and he could be healed. You think about what he's saying. He said, just speak it and it will happen. He knows that the power of Jesus, that can happen. He knows that he's working from God, and that if he just says it, it can happen. That's amazing in itself. To think of that great belief that he has, and then the power that he realizes that Jesus possesses. I think as we look at this and we see the humbleness, we see that his belief is backed by the fact that he says, all you have to do is say it. He believes in that power. And his actions state that, and by saying, all you have to do is say it. He didn't just say, I believe that Jesus could heal him. He says in his actions, in his humbleness, in the way that he does it. I think here is a key to tonight's lesson. When we look at it, faith requiring action, we can see how he backed up his faith in the things that he said in his heart that Jesus could see, and the way that he said these things to Jesus, saying, to speak the words. We can see his thoughts, his heart, and his true belief backed up by what he said and did. I think some things that we can also see about examples that we can learn about our faith are found in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we see something that talks about pattern, and this isn't really referring as much to faith, but I think it makes a good point when he says, in verse 6 actually, "Likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and corruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." I think within this, a key to our faith should be that it should be a pattern. It should be something that's consistent, that others can see, that they could pattern themselves, that they can mirror themselves off of, that they could follow a guideline that they can see. And although this isn't just about faith, it's how these young men are to act, I think that we can definitely say that a part of this is definitely something that we should have, that others should see as a guideline to faith. Also, if we look over just a little bit more in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." It talks again about good works and being profitable. I think this is part of also our faith, maintaining these good works and showing our actions. And as we show our actions, they should be a guideline for others, and they should be something that we should continue to maintain as good works. But also said in James chapter 2, if we go back there, that works, by works a man is justified. We look here in verses 20 through 24. "But do you not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? By works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Again, we already talked a little bit about Abraham and his willingness to offer his son, because God has said, to offer his son on the altar, because that's what God said. And he had faith in God and the promises that were made to him. That even though this may not seem, this is what God said and this is what he would do. I think we can see some more in Galatians chapter 6. Kind of a lengthy reading here, but there's a few points that we can see in Galatians chapter 6 in the first 10 verses. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you should be also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things which he who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whether a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us not do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. As I said, there's a few points, and one of the first points that we can see in the first five verses actually is examining our own self. That's kind of the key of this lesson and any lesson I teach, is for us to examine ourselves and make sure that we're walking according to God's will. And here it says to examine our own work, to each bear our own load. It also talks about not growing weary in verse 9. For in due season we shall reap, we do not lose heart. We look again and think about those examples in Hebrews 11 and how many of those saw it immediate, especially Abraham and the promises that were made and how long it took before they were filled. Some he never even saw. Do not grow weary, for we shall reap in due season. Do not lose heart. Last point I think that we can get from these is in the last verse that we read, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Do good to all, always. Our actions, again, showing our faith. Do not grow weary. Last verses I want to look at this evening are in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think of what is said here, the faith in verse 7, genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. It also talks about being tested by fire, that made stronger and purified, and that we will be tested at times. Our faith will be tested. But at the end, which again is the purpose of this evening, we will be found to praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ comes again. That our purpose, to make sure that we are found to have praise, honor, and glory, not for our own, but to show praise, honor, and glory for Christ. Now we may have those things because our faith has withstood this test of time and we have been pleasing to God. What do our works tell others about our faith? As I said, I started this as a backup, just to be prepared, but as I started doing it and going back through scriptures and adding some thoughts and changing the points around it, I really started to get excited about it again. And to really, some points that I really want to look at and push myself on. And hopefully we can get something, all of it, out tonight as well. My lessons are always similar in the fact that I try to get us to think, to try to evaluate ourselves and see where we stand and what we can do. Hopefully make ourselves stronger and better and closer to God and closer to each other. But now we also offer an invitation. A chance to look at ourselves and say, are we right with God? Hopefully, again, no matter what we are, we can get something out tonight. But if we think about the invitation and the opportunity to follow up on that and to show that we just aren't saying that we believe in God, but we want to follow up on that. That we want to show our faith in God and that we want to live a life pleasing in His sight, doing His will. A life that our actions continuously show our faith in God. And that's what I want us to look at now. For those of us that need to make a correction, make our lives, make change in our lives, or to come forth publicly to do that, or to come forth and to confess and believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that you know the plan, and that you want to repent of the life that you're living of now, and you want to be baptized. That's what this invitation is for now. And I encourage you to do something about it right now as we stand and sing.